All right, welcome to Highly Questionable. Izzy Gutierrez with a shirt that I don't fully understand, but it's whatever. Dominique Fosworth with a shirt with a little bitty collar that got buttons on it. This Bob Marley. Good luck clowning that.
Are you still confident in Team USA?
I mean, who was confident in the first place here? I've been saying from the beginning what people do here with Team USA. They could have beat France by 50 points. It would have never made our television show. They lose to France by 6 points just a couple minutes after Drew Holiday and Devin Booker and Chris Middleton get off the plane from playing in the NBA Finals, and they lose this game, and now all of a sudden we all want to flip out. Now, if they lose to Iran, okay, now I'll start talking about us having a problem, but this has always been an ill-fitting roster that we should have had questions about. They put JaVale McGee on the team. They put a dude on the team whose name you don't know. I would tell you his name, except I don't think Kelton Johnson. There we go. But you hadn't heard it before I told you that right now. Like, come on, we're not putting out the most dominant team that we have ever seen. This is a team that feels a bit like that 04 team, a team that Greg Popovich was an assistant on. And we are seeing something about Greg Popovich, and this is fair to ask. Is he a guy that can coach an all-star team? Because that's basically what this is. He had a unique system with the Spurs where you had Tim Duncan, where you could talk to him crazy just like you talk to everybody else crazy, and that had an esprit de corps that went across the board, and you could win. This requires a different kind of coaching. It's going to require a different kind of strategy to deal with this, and I am not sure that Popovich is the right guy to do that. But this isn't something that was unexpected to me, losing to a pretty good team in France. They're not guaranteed to win a gold medal. It'll be an uphill climb. And if they do win it, please celebrate it. Because if they lose it, all you're going to do is trash them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like you, Bomani. I had confidence in them to start. But no, this game doesn't make me lose confidence in them. They're still by far the most talented team at the Olympics. And last time I checked, talent really helps you out. And I understand the criticism of Popovich. I am not a basketball coach, but I feel like it's pretty simple. You got enough shooters. You got enough ball handlers. Give one of them the ball at the top of the key and spread the floor with shooters. No one in all of the Olympics can stop any of our top three scorers one-on-one. When they double them, pass to all the other top-of-the-world shooters that you have. Like, it seems pretty simple to me. I'm sure there's some basketball mind that's going to tell me why it's not that easy, but it is that easy. You got the best players. Like, it's that simple. Don't get too hard. Anybody who's ever coached or played in, like, rec league sports, if you got – five of the best players on your team, you gonna win. Full court, press them. Do whatever you gotta do. Like, to me, it seems very simple. And yes, Bomani, I'm one of these people who doesn't care when they win and is kind of a little bit offended when they lose. You guys have created these expectations by being awesome, so you gotta kind of continue being awesome. As someone who is awesome, I understand the weight that comes with people expecting you to be great all the time. It's tough, but I do it.
Man, everything I was about to say just washed away from my brain there, thanks to Dominique, but I'll try to remember it. In terms of losing confidence, I didn't think that they were a runaway gold medal favorite at all. And so, yeah, that game doesn't really do much for me in terms of the confidence. There's a little bit of unfairness there where you're talking about, like, any different than any other Olympic year where you've got important guys just getting shoved in at the very end of training and the very beginning of the tournament. You've got Greg Popovich who, you know, whose record is poor in these situations and doesn't like that, obviously, but it is, again, unfair to him given these circumstances. And I think what we need to do is just sort of dive into the players here and whether or not this is a good makeup of a team, because, and I don't know what really got into Jason Tatum. I don't know if Jason Tatum's, you know, COVID experience has him not really, or maybe he's just really fatigued and not playing well, but he hasn't really looked like a great fit. You know, you mentioned the 04 team, Bomani. A lot of the problem with that team is they didn't have enough shooting, or at least erratic shooting with a Marbury, a Wade, a LeBron. This team has a ton of shooting. They're just missing. And even there was a possession there late in the game where they had three wide open shots and missed them all. And so I don't think that this isn't a great makeup of a team. I think it's good enough, right? And I think guys are just missing, and maybe they're really fatigued and the rest of the world is just better at this than, you know, we used to be, or at least dominate over the rest of the world. And so I don't know what to examine here exactly other than say, hey, this group should be good enough to rally from this and probably win a gold medal, however they have to do it, if they have to scrap Greg Popovich's offense. But I think it's very confusing when you have all this talent and guys are just missing and you look around and saying, well, the rest of the world isn't that good.
Well, first of all, I want to say it's refreshing to be the silver medalist in confidence. Like, it's not very often that I show up somewhere and I'm coming up as number two in confidence. That's why I love hanging out with Fosworth. I get to be the modest one. Now, the 2004 comparison that I made, one thing to remember, That team lost to Puerto Rico, okay? Oh. That team lost to Puerto Rico. This is not that. Losing to France is not that. But what's going to happen, and this is honestly the case very often, is there's a continuity deficit that the U.S. is going to have against these countries, in large part because, like, the best dude in Slovakia, whatever country you want to throw out there, is the best dude for a long time. Like, the best five is going to be the best five for a long time. They're going to play with each other for a long time. The best five in the United States is going to go up and down, different people in and out. And we don't even have the best five that's out there. Like, this is not the best collection of basketball players the United States has. That's why we need to stop looking at it strictly as just Team USA and look specifically at what this team is. And if they do win it, I think we need to appreciate it, because this is not a circumstance where we're walking in here with a sledgehammer trying to deal with flies. Those ain't flies over there, man. The world is better, but they caught up to our B team. We're sending a B team.
Should the Packers feel optimistic that everything will be all good with Aaron Rodgers?
All right. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network is reporting that Aaron Rodgers is telling people close to him that he expects to play for the Packers this year, which I've been trying to tell y'all for months. He didn't really have another play. His only leverage was to quit his whole career, not just quit his job. And I did not think that was something that he was going to do. Now, is everything going to be okay? Maybe for a year. We see this happen in the NFL all the time. And if you don't believe me, go look at them franchise tag situations where the dude signed at one time, just be like, look, I'm going to get through this year. You're going to get us through this year. And then we're going to part company afterwards, which I think is ultimately what is going to happen here. But I think Aaron Rodgers is a man of enough pride, and he cares enough about the guys on his roster enough that it's not going to turn into drama because he shows up. Now, this is one major difference between the NFL and the NBA. In the NBA, under these circumstances, Aaron Rodgers would show up and act a donkey. You see what happened with James Harden over there in Houston. Football doesn't really allow for that. Dudes are literally risking their lives out there. Them other 52 dudes will have Aaron Rodgers hanging from his locker if he come in there acting a fool.
This would make a lot more sense, at least this ending, if he plays again. If it includes, let's say, the Pro Football Talk report of a two-year deal worth $90 million, for, all of it guaranteed, because that, to me, would have been at least the second part, or at least the backup end game, right? If I'm not playing for another franchise, if I have to play for you, I'm going to be making $90 million over 2 years. They're all going to be guaranteed, and I will be declared the winner of the urination contest that we've had this entire offseason. And so if that is the case now, and maybe all this other stuff, the last dance, the, you know, the post that he and Devontae Adams put up, maybe all that was just finer leverage for them to come to this number and say, okay, we can make this work for the next couple of years. Because I was not of the belief that Aaron Rodgers was going to even threaten to call it a career, to say, hey, I'm enough of a celebrity where I can move on from this sport that has made me everything. So this is probably what makes more sense, but it doesn't necessarily mean that this is going to stay forever. Like, this could be a 1 year, 2 year situation, and Aaron has eyes for another team and playing well beyond his 40th year.
To Bo's point about a player not making a mess like this in football, I think you're right. Part of it is about the intensity of the game, but also in this situation, they got a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Like, they're back-to-back championship games. Like, that is no way possible. Like, what James Harden did was go into a team that was not going to win a championship and blew it up. And that's what most NBA guys are doing, is looking for a place where they can go to win. But this feels like it's about respect. And I understand that this allows Aaron Rodgers to save face. If he gets this $90 million deal, then he can come out and say, I won because I made them pay me more money. But I don't think that's what he wants. I think what he wants is freedom. I think what more than likely we're going to see is that they're going to come to an agreement that allows Aaron Rodgers to be an unrestricted free agent after this season. And him and his last dance, Pippen, Devontae Adams, can take their talents somewhere else and try to win a championship there. But I don't see him playing there past this season.
Yo, here's the question. Is Jordan Love disappointed or relieved to find out the Aaron Rodgers?
Relieved. Relieved.
What should the Texans do now that Deshaun Watson is reported to camp?
Yeah, remember that? Deshaun Watson wanted to be traded, really didn't want to come play there anymore. And like we have been saying in these other cases where guys didn't really have any leverage because they had long contracts, he brought his happy behind in there to play. It sounds like he does not want to play anymore, but what about that other thing? Yeah. Like, as enough time passed that we're just acting like that other thing did not happen. And that other thing, of course, being over 20 allegations of sexual misconduct against him. Now, what's very interesting, and this is just a look at how we handle all of these things. If those allegations had come up about 2 weeks ago, the block would have been too hot for him to come, and he would have been on that commissioner's exempt list just to avoid having to answer any questions about it. It's a very similar situation with Trevor Bauer's dealing with the Dodgers right now, where he ain't going to be on the field anytime soon because this thing with him popped up during the season, and they don't want to have to deal with the heat that comes with it. But so much happened in the last 3 months that it's like we don't have to talk about anything that went down with Deshaun Watson, anything at all. And he shows up at camp, and we are back to talking about whether or not he is going to be traded or if he is going to show up. Just your friendly reminder that on these matters of significant consequence, these things that really, really matter, we ain't got no system. We ain't got no plan. All we doing is going off of how we feel in a moment, because nothing has fundamentally changed from when we thought that dude might not play football again because of what we were hearing about him.
Yeah, and I think the Texans, what they should do is call that commissioner and beg him to do something, because they don't want this. They don't want to have to make this decision. If it's going to be the commissioner's exempt list, fine, so be it. If you're going to suspend him for 4 weeks, 8 weeks, the whole season, so be it. But being in a position where they have to decide on a guy who has not been convicted of anything yet, and the obvious decision is not to play him, like, send him home. You're allowed to excuse people from camp without fining them. And you can still pay him, do whatever you want, but I don't think you want him around your organization right now, whether he's been convicted of anything or not. That can't be your starting quarterback at the start of the season. And that's not the coach's job to decide. Coach's job is to decide, you give me players, I'm going to put the best ones out there. You need to take it out of his hands. It's not his responsibility. This should be either the organization or the league. As much as I hate the amount of power that Roger Goodell has in the league, this is the time to use it.
Well, that's what's interesting here, is because by the letter of the rule, they do have the ability to use it. They've had enough time to investigate this themselves to say, okay, even though the law can't make this happen, or the civil case, or it is a civil case, and, you know, that is not the same thing, we can in fact do something. We can in fact penalize him, and they haven't done that yet. And to me, this makes me wonder if that is a sign that they won't do that, or they don't have the ability to, based on their version of the investigation. So what Deshaun Watson could do here is just, he's showing up to make things uncomfortable, to sort of expedite that trade request and saying, hey, the commissioner can't put me on the list, because he would have if he could have already. So I'm not on that list. I'm here. I'm either playing for you, which I don't think you want, or you're going to go ahead and trade me, making things very uncomfortable for a brand new head coach as well. So I think Deshaun Watson is creating leverage by making this an uncomfortable situation. And the commissioner's office right now, anyway, probably doesn't have anything they can do about it.
Yeah, let me tell you one thing I ain't about to do, though, is trust the strength of an NFL investigation. Their investigations tend to end the way they want their investigations to end. The reason that Watson could come to camp is that we collectively forgot about it. That's all it comes down to. This is purely reactionary policy. If people were still mad about that, he wouldn't be anywhere near. But enough happened that he could slide in there and be like, hey, I'm back at camp, and it's like nothing ever happened.
Up next on HQ.
They trying to hold on to the same championship core that they had 7 years ago. And you can't find an example for me other than the Bulls of Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen of having the same championship core for that long and still being a contender at the back end.
Would trading for Bradley Beal make the Warriors again?
All right, so we are hearing that Bradley Beal is going to make a decision about whether or not he wants to be traded from the Wizards, the team that at one point he said, no, I want to try to do it here, and apparently he came to his senses because he's like, yo, that was the dumbest thing I ever said in the world. Now, the Warriors are a team that we're talking about perhaps getting him. They got the number 7 and the number 14 pick in the draft. That's capital they could use to acquire Beal. My question is, just how good is Bradley Beal? Like, that's not to say that he is not good. He puts up a lot of points. He is a prolific scorer. He's put up 30 points a game the last 2 years. Do you know what Bradley Beal shot from three-point range last year? 34.9%. That's not bad, but he's not some super-duper sharpshooter. It's been a long time since he was a dude that gave you 40% from three. And playing for the Warriors, being a volume scorer, ain't going to do it. That isn't the kind of operation that they run there. If he's not going to be an upper echelon three-point shooter, something tells me they could get what they would ultimately get out of Brad Beal, probably for cheaper out of somebody else. Because as good as he is, when you reduce his role, you reduce what you ask for, and you don't necessarily need Bradley Beal to do the things that they're going to be looking for somebody to do.
The giant if here to me is if Bradley Beal decides to request a trade, and if he does, are there other targeted areas, other targeted teams he would prefer to go to? Let's say maybe Boston with his buddy Jason Tatum from St. Louis. But if we're just going to say, hey, maybe he could be a Warrior here, and there's a bigger if on that side. What is Klay Thompson going to look like when he comes back? Because Bradley Beal isn't necessarily Klay Thompson in the fact that he doesn't defend as well. And so you can't just say, all right, we're going to make Bradley Beal the new Klay Thompson, and whatever we get out of Klay, we'll take. I don't know if that's a championship formula necessarily, because again, Bradley does not play the same level of defense, and you don't know what you're getting out of Klay. You're also very likely going to have to give up Wiseman, your number two pick from last year, just because, you know, that's 7-14 as draft picks aren't appealing enough. You're going to have to add an attractive player, and then Andrew Wiggins to make the salaries work. So if you're asking me if I think that the Warriors sort of run it back and replace KD with Bradley Beal, if that's enough to win a championship again or get them to that level, I don't think so. It's going to make them a lot more interesting when they have the top two scorers in the league on the same team. And I think a little bit higher of Bradley Beal than Bomani does, but I don't think it's automatic championship level Warriors. No, that's not even it.
Well, I mean, I think that the answer to the question is obviously no, because Bradley Beal is not Kevin Durant. So they're not going to be those Warriors again. But the question, the real question is, what are you going to do with that 7-14? You're not getting guys that are going to contribute immediately. So yes, they should trade to 7-14. But should it be for Bradley Beal? I think the answer that we all have come to is no. Then who should it be? Who else is available? I guess you can try to get Dame Lillard, which I feel like that is not a recipe for a championship. It's going to be fun as hell to watch, but that's not going to win him anything. Maybe you try to go get Ben Simmons, which seems like a more reasonable fit, but you're going to have him and Draymond on the floor at the same time, together not shooting and playing defense and both trying to be kind of a point forward situation? No. So, like, when you look at the guys who are available, then I'm kind of like, yeah, maybe you get Bradley Beal, see what happens, because he seems like the best possible fit for this situation. And the other option is to draft a guy at 7-14, two guys who aren't going to play. Like, let's be serious.
They trying to hold on to the same championship core that they had 7 years ago. And you can't find an example for me other than the Bulls of Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen of having the same championship core for that long and still being a contender at the back end.
Time to play the game that obviously didn't get the memo that today was a T-shirt Monday. Do you question?
It's a T-shirt Monday every Monday. I try to be consistent so y'all don't feel no pressure. You give us topics and events and we question them.
Do you question if Twins fans are right to boo this?
Okay, so we want to show you Shohei Ohtani's 35th home run because everything he does is majestic. Giant man. Now, you got to understand, man, the Twins, they cheats, man. They booty. There's just no way around it. It's been a tough season. Byron Buxton, he the best player. He always hurt. And now it looks like he's going to wind up being traded. So look what happens at Ohtani's next plate appearance. The Twins fans just want something to see.
And the boos you hear are because Shohei Ohtani was just given an intentional walk.
The intentional walk. This is Barry Bonds territory. That's where we are. We are in that place. The people want to see him hit home runs off the home team.
You can't say to your team, hey, win, 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 win at all costs. Oh, we're terrible now? Let that dude hit. No, man, you're still in that game. You can't turn on your own team like that just to get – that guy's going to play a lot more games in his career, probably a lot more games in your ballpark. Don't boo your own team for that. That's nonsense.
You do boo him. We are here to be entertained. We're either going to win or we're going to have fun. We're not going to do neither, and clearly they're not going to win, so let's have some fun.
So what would it be like if your team was playing at home, you on the team, you know, it's been a rough season, okay, and they booing because you didn't single with Randy Moss and they didn't throw the ball to Randy Moss?
That would be a problem, but that's me. It ain't me. I'm watching now. if they got mad because they, like, rolled a safety over the top, they're like, boo, we came to see Randy. Why are you doubling Randy? Boo. I would be a little annoyed at them, but if I paid my money to go to a game and I saw them doubling Randy, I'd be like, boo, let him cook that corner.
Time to play the game that doesn't know why he's still in this library. Like, seriously, somebody get me out of here, please. See or no.
Okay, yeah, there we go. You tell us what's on TV tonight, we tell you if we're intrigued.
Tomorrow at 4 a.m. Eastern, U.S. Women's Soccer versus Australia.
All right, now that 4 a.m. part is a little bit arduous. I can't make you no promises about that. However, Team USA lost their first match to Sweden, and they said it was going to be okay. And then poor New Zealand had to get the brakes beat off them. They lost 6-1. Damn, on TV in front of everybody in New Zealand, they in one of them time zones where that happens at regular time. Like, people was awake to watch it and everything. Izzy, are you intrigued?
Absolutely not intrigued enough for 4 a.m. We've seen them recover. I don't need to see it again. But it is very confusing with these Olympics, with everything happening while I'm sleeping. And then you wake up and you can't really watch highlights unless you're watching one specific channel. So are these things really happening?
Dominic, you intrigued?
I am intrigued. DVR is the answer, my friends. I will be watching them smash whomever they play throughout the course of this tournament, just like I watch all the American women and just about every other event smash everyone else. I saw a stat last night when I was watching, or actually this morning when I was watching the replay from last night, about how the women from last time we had the Olympics, the Summer Olympics, the American women won the second amount of medals out of any country in the world, if you just take the American women. That is unbelievable.
All right, that is our show. Izzy Gutierrez in the library with the guns. Dominic Foxworth, check him out on Foxworth Friday on the right time with Bomani Jones. It's a podcast that I find enjoyable.
I got to get a new background for Foxworth Friday. It's kind of blank back there when I go into my little audio studio. It's just blank.